Welcome to the Simply Authentic Podcast, where we hope to inspire you to dream bigger, empower you to take charge of your own life, and challenge you to be your most authentic self. Welcome back to the Simply Authentic Podcast. I'm Angie Mullings.
And I'm Tanya Murfin. And guys, today we had the pleasure of having our fourth annual Celebrating Women in Real Estate event that we have annually. And
we get to MC that event.
We do get to MC. If you need to hire MCs, we are the cream of the crowd. Cream of the crop. But we our keynote speaker was Terry Tucker, and we have interviewed Terry before on the podcast, and she's a author, she's a keynote speaker, and a lot of her topics lead back to leadership, which Angie and I are always talking about and wanting to learn more about and so forth. So we're going to first let you hear our interview with Terry following the program, and we talked primarily about mentorship and that piece of it.
Yeah. So stay tuned. Here's Terry.
Welcome, Terry Tucker, back to the show. We've had you on before, Terry. You're a good friend of ours and a mentor to us for leadership and all things.
Thank you.
So today we were with you and we heard you give a speech on two different things. One was focusing on mentorship, and the other one was focusing on eight lessons of leadership you learned while white river rafting.
That's true, of all things.
So let's get into the mentorship piece of it. And I think one of the things that I heard during your speech and our conversation with everybody today was that you are sometimes a mentor and you don't know it.
Sure.
And that we always need to be paying attention to how we are leading because you never know who's watching. And so why don't you give us some of your best takeaways to the mentorship talk that we had today with all of these ladies?
Well, I think one of the biggest things is that we should take mentorship seriously, but not formally. So I think that's a good way to summarize the broader message, which is mentoring happens in the moments. Mentoring happens because we were put together in a situation and I wanted to learn something from you. And so I ask you a question and then you give me an answer and you ask me a question. And pretty soon we have this relationship and then it evolves into this mentorship. I think the more structured, formal ones, which are assigned mentors in the workplace or somebody coming up and being very formal about, would you be my mentor and we will meet an hour every month and we will talk about the following. I think those aren't as successful as the organic ones that just kind of blossom because of respect, commonalities of interests, and a desire to learn on both parts. I think that was a big takeaway. I think another one really is that mentorship is a two-way street. That, and I've mentored and been mentored my entire career, and I get something out of doing either side of that equation. So if I'm the mentor, I'm coming into that going, what can I learn from this mentee? If I'm the mentee, of course, I'm thinking, what can I learn from that mentor? I think if one of the two of us feel like we know everything, it's a failed mentorship.
I took several notes today, and there was a couple of things that sort of struck home with me in terms of I think, like, people come to interview at my office and they'll say, do you assign a mentor? And I've never been a fan of that just because, as you said, some of the best are just organic. You know, when you assign someone, if I assign someone to you, it may be a horrible fit. You guys may not communicate well together. You just, it just might not be a good fit. So I'm not a fan of that. What I typically say is you will find your mentor.
Much better. And, you know, if you need a buddy to be oriented into a new culture, like I come and I join your company, you probably should give me an orienter or a quote-unquote buddy.
Sure, sure.
That says, hey, this is how we do things around here. This is where your office is. If you need this, this is how you do that, blah, 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 blah. This is where you park your car.
Right.
All that kind of stuff. That's not a mentor.
Yeah.
A mentor truly is somebody who's going to help me see farther than I can see for myself.
Mm-hmm.
And help me want to see farther. And I just don't think that can be assigned.
Yeah, yeah. You made the distinction between a trainer and a mentor.
Yeah.
Two totally different things.
Sure.
Yeah.
And I, you know, a trainer in a job is going to teach you how to do something, how to make this widget, how to run that cash register, how to fill out that form, how to do that sales call, how to follow a sales process, whatever it is. But, and trainers are great. Facilitators are great. There's a right way and a wrong way to do this process. But a mentor is a thought leader.
Mm-hmm.
It's just going to help me think. Yeah. Big difference.
Yeah.
And one of the things that you said that I wrote down was, why be a mentor? To polish your own leadership skills.
Sure.
Right?
Yeah.
Because Angie and I can relate to that with our leadership roles at the board. And she was my mentor going in because she was a couple years ahead of me. So she already knew the ropes, and I watched her closely and learned from her. But then I fell into that same spot, not really realizing it, for people behind me that were watching me. So our leadership skills were fine-tuned while we were sitting in a volunteer position, right? That we was non-assuming, really.
Sure.
But we became mentors to those around us.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I remember my lifelong mentor, my deepest relationship mentor, was a man named Dr. Belasco. He wrote the book Flight of the Buffalo, and he just taught me so much about the position I was going to take in leadership. And I just related to him right out. And I remember hearing him speak the first time, and I ran up to the stage afterwards. And I was just like a little kid in a candy store, just standing there going, you're amazing, and I loved what you said about blank, blank, blank. And I immediately asked him three questions, and he immediately answered those three questions. And then he was at another round table that I was at like a week later. He lived in California. I lived down, I was working at Silver Dollar City at the time. And I asked him some more questions around the table, and he invited me to go to lunch with them. And so we sat down at the lunch table, and I was literally, I brought my notebook, I brought a pen, I was like a sponge.
Mm-hmm.
Well, years later, after our relationship developed into a true mentor-mentee relationship, he told me that was the moment he knew he wanted me as a mentee, is because he said, I love to teach and educate and lift and help people see. And you wanted to see, and you wanted to learn. And he said, when those two things come together, it truly is a good thing.
Mm-hmm. Because he's refining his skills as he realizes, I want to be a mentor to her.
Sure. Mm-hmm. Another thing he said to me, because this guy, seriously, he used to charge like $85,000 for a keynote. I mean, he spoke in arenas.
Wow.
He would speak in huge Madison Square Gardens. He would speak all over the world.
Yeah.
So when some company hired him to come in, he would speak in front of 30 and 40,000 people. Mm. And so he was very expensive. And one day I was pinching myself he gave me any time I wanted, but we had scheduled times as well.
Gotcha.
And one day I said to him, I said, why? I didn't pay him a penny. I said, I could never afford you.
Mm-hmm.
And he did leadership coaching for a living too. I mean, he charged a lot of money for it. Mm-hmm. I said, you never charged me anything. And I said, why in the world would you do this for me for nothing?
Mm-hmm.
And he just kind of chuckled, and he looked at me and he said, well, you're kind of one of my tickets to heaven.
Aww.
And I started laughing. I go, what? He goes, seriously, he said, if you teach what I teach you and you give it away, I will never die.
Yeah.
And he said, I'll have a legacy. And he said, the only thing I ask of you is that you freely give it away when you have an opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
he goes, we go on forever.
Yeah. Yeah. I love that. Another point that was kind of brought out today was that if we're a mentor, we cannot push that person that we're meant to, that is our mentee, to do anything. We have to let them find their own path, if you will. We ask questions, we challenge them, that kind of thing. But it's not our job to take care of them, if you will, or to make them do anything.
Right. And, you know, I'm going to sound really harsh when I say this. It's a two-way street. So if I'm a mentor and I've got a mentee that's asked me to mentor. Mm-hmm. Now, if I'm going after them because I want to save them or something like that, that's different.
Different, yeah.
But if some mentee has come to me and said, hey, would you be my mentor? Or indirectly said, hey, I love what you teach. Can we spend some time together? Whatever that is. And I say yes. And then that mentee doesn't apply learning mm-hmm. or, quite frankly, blows me off. You know, mm-hmm. like, hey, I can't do it this month or can't wait. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to sound really harsh when I say this. I follow what's called the coach-coach change model. So I will coach one time and see if any application happens. I will give the benefit of the doubt and coach the second time and see if any change happens. But if there's not change after two hard coaching sessions about that change, I'm going to move on.
Mm-hmm.
Because I don't have the time
right.
or the energy, yep. and I don't want to get negative, mm-hmm. so I'm not going to go dog that mentee.
Right.
If that mentee doesn't want that time with me,
mm-hmm.
you know, I'm going to move on.
Of course.
So I follow coach-coach change. Yeah. Without, you know, try not to hang the baggage on it, let it go,
right,
and move on.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Mm-hmm. For me, in my brokerage, that kind of strikes a chord with me, because for years, and Angie, you can probably sit there and nod your head, for years, we have a meeting towards the end of the year that is a training meeting to get ready for the next year. So it's mm-hmm. going through your goals and setting goals for the next year and looking right. at your business and doing all those things. And it's taken me years to get to the point where I realized I'm looking out in the room and nobody does anything
yeah.
that I've suggested they do now for 7, 8, 9 years in the past. And I kind of hit a wall after that,
sure.
you know, and
sure.
was like,
why am I doing this?
Why have I put so much effort into this for years now? Mm-hmm. And they all still come back 6 months later and complain about everything they've complained about 7 years ago, right?
Yeah, right.
They've never changed anything. And I don't want to throw everybody on that bus, but there's a lot of people sitting on that bus.
Yeah.
And now I've changed my method. I can't care that much.
Yeah.
Right?
Right.
You just said I stopped caring because they didn't execute anything. And mm-hmm. I think that as mentors, mm-hmm. accepting that. So it took mm-hmm. me years to
right.
accept that that maybe that's not what they need,
mm-hmm.
but I need to quit caring so much.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So one of my mentors and we're co-mentors together is Phil Malugin at Phoenix Home Care and Hospice. And he has a great line and he says, I don't need to care more about your job than you do.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And the way that you can, and I'm sure you did this, the way that you can accept that and live with that and move on is when you can look yourself in the mirror and go, I did everything in my power to help that person be successful. They chose not to.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why coach-coach change. That's mm-hmm. why not a loose cannon one day when you freak out and go, I can't do it anymore.
Right.
When you do coach, give the benefit of the doubt, coach again, then change, you got a clear mirror reflection.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah. Yeah, I think that's great. And that's something we could all learn from. I want to switch gears just a little bit. You and I were having a conversation. Some of our listeners are very young, new in their profession, and trying to find their way. And I just want a message out there that you should not be afraid to ask for a mentor.
Sure.
Do you have any thoughts on how someone can go about asking someone to be a mentor and, you know, not to be afraid to do so?
Sure. Well, and I'm going to be very unconventional in this answer. I really don't think it's as blatant as saying, will you be my mentor? Mm-hmm. I think that's terrifying for both sides.
Yeah.
I think if somebody walks up to me today, as busy as I am in my life and as crazy and as much travel as I have, if somebody walks up to me and says, will you be my mentor? I kind of want to throw up a little bit
mm-hmm.
because I kind of think there's no way
right.
I've got time to be your mentor.
Right.
But, and I'm going to totally leave track for a second and make this statement. I've always told women, young or old, widowed or never married or whatever, that really, really want a man in their life. Mm-hmm. I always say, don't look for it. Mm-hmm. Quit mm-hmm. looking for it. Mm-hmm. Start living life. Get involved. Don't join the club because you think there'll be a man there. Mm-hmm. Join the club because you love the mission. Mm-hmm. Go volunteer. Go get out of your house, get off your couch, and go do life. Mm-hmm. And you might fall over him on that mm-hmm. journey.
Yeah.
Mentorship is a lot like that. I think coming to events like we were at, mm-hmm. Doing things where there are active learners and wonderful people in the room, and go up like I did with Dr. Belasco and ask a question. Mm-hmm. If you start getting positivity back, ask another question, and pretty soon you might say, could I bring you my strategic plan and have you take a look at it? Could I bring you my monthly action plan and have you take a look at it? Mm-hmm. And see if they are receptive, that before you know it, you're in a mentor-mentee relationship.
Yeah. Again, going back to organic.
Right.
Yeah.
Totally. Less formal.
So true.
And more synergistically, our values, our interests align.
Yeah.
And you know more than I do on this topic, and I would love to ask your opinion of what you think about this. Mm-hmm. Then... Mm-hmm. Great people who love to teach will step up.
Yeah. And just, you can't live in fear and not go ask the questions, not approach the stage. Most people that are there to speak, or they have a heart to train or give or whatever. Sure. Otherwise, they'll leave the stage, right? You won't have an opportunity. Right. I was listening to a Mel Robbins podcast not too long ago, and she talked about how this lady in the audience found a way. She was backstage getting on a back elevator with the person who was in charge of the hotel and in charge of the event. This lady somehow found her way back only to tell her how much she changed her life.
Oh,
so
wow.
if you are driven enough, if mm-hmm. you have a question, if you have a thought, if you're a thought leader, you want to be better, you'll figure out a way. Mm-hmm. You'll figure out a way to get yourself in front of that person and ask the question.
Sure. Definitely.
Yeah.
Well, thank you, Terry. We always enjoy our time with you.
Thank you so much. I loved it very much. You guys do great work.
Thank you. So I love Terry Tucker, don't you?
I love Terry Tucker.
Love me some Terry Tucker.
Yes. Every conversation we have with her is just, I've heard her several times. I always have some great takeaways. Today
always.
I made a whole page of new notes.
Yeah.
So let's talk about what she talked about in terms of, or we've heard from her on mentorship.
Right.
She kind of adapted her lessons in leadership around that mentorship idea today. But it was the 8 lessons she learned while whitewater rafting.
Right.
So, yeah.
And if you can hear the car bumping outside, yes, we are right by the street of St. Louis in Springfield, Missouri.
Yeah.
So, lovely.
Yeah.
Anyway, so, yes. She took a trip, went White River rafting, mm-hmm. and called it an adventure, which her and her husband like to go on now that their kids are grown and out of the house. And Angie, let's go through her 8 lessons that she gave us of what she learned in that inner tube ride. What do you call those?
Right, raft.
Raft.
Yeah, she was whitewater rafting.
Yeah.
So the guide to the whitewater rafting, he is the mentor in this situation.
Correct.
And she's learning lessons from the guide of the whitewater rafting.
Right.
So her first lesson was find the path of least resistance.
Right.
So as leaders, we need to lead our people. She called it a long V, if mm-hmm. you will, because if you're whitewater rafting, the water moves in a pattern that goes around the rocks and the obstacles. So mm-hmm. she talked about finding that long V, and when we're leading, we need to find that path of least resistance.
Right, and essentially, don't get distracted with all of the little things over here and the drama over here. Mm-hmm. Stay on the path of least resistance.
Right.
And stick to it.
Yep.
So that was the first one. The second one was, you've got to know where you're going.
Mm-hmm.
That's got to be clear, really, with anything you're doing in life, mm-hmm. is, do I know my why, and mm-hmm. do I know where I'm going, and am I headed in the right direction?
Right. And we talked about this at vision casting, really, about having the big picture and understanding the big picture. We talked about that in an episode earlier, just a couple of weeks ago. So we mm-hmm. really believe this to be true. She, a subtopic of that was, our obstacles will always be present. Mm-hmm. But if you have a clear path, if you're leading through the path of least resistance and you have a vision, mm-hmm. then it's easier not to focus on those obstacles.
Right. Because that is the distraction, right?
Right.
When you know, okay, I need to form a company, mm-hmm. it's all the little obstacles in the way on your path to actually open the doors to your
right,
company
right.
that get in the way and bog you down.
Yes.
So.
Yeah, true.
What was number three?
Three was don't focus on the rock. So don't focus, again, on the obstacles. We need to be focused on the behaviors that people portray. So don't focus on what the rock is. We need to focus as leaders when we have individuals that we're mentoring or we're training or teaching, mm-hmm. we need to help them
see past the rocks
and not get focused on the rocks. So it really is having that focus, that clarity.
Right. And that analogy comes from her sitting in front of the raft. She's supposed to be paddling, and she is yelling, there's a lot of rocks, there's a bunch of rocks, mm-hmm. I see big rocks. And the mentor who's in the back of the ship is yelling, paddle, paddle, paddle. So yeah. you can visually see the rocks are distracting you,
right.
but you need to keep paddling and moving forward in that V.
Keep your eye on the ball. On the ball.
Yeah, and something I took away from that is the vision is always more important.
Mm-hmm.
The rocks are not as important. Now, are they pivotal? Sometimes, do you have to get a city license to open your business?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah,
you got to do those things, but don't get distracted with that.
Right.
Keep moving forward.
That's just a thing on a checklist.
Yes. And one other thing, Angie, I heard her say, focus on behaviors that are congruent with the culture.
Right.
So whatever culture you're starting to put into your new business or put into the group that you work with, you've got to stay congruent with that culture, mm-hmm. and keep everybody on the same ship.
Right.
So number four was there are absolutely no riders. No one gets to ride for free.
That's right.
Everyone has to participate.
Yep. You've got to empower everyone on the team that they can contribute. So you got to give them some, you've got to empower them and recognize that they've got an opinion and thoughts on what mm-hmm. you're doing and work together.
Yeah. And that they have a role.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah. Number five was communicate throughout. And my goodness, we've done a podcast or two about communication and mm-hmm. how important it is. You can't just communicate in the beginning. I wrote down constant communication. Mm-hmm. It's from beginning to end throughout whatever project you're working mm-hmm. on. It's just pivotal. It's pivotal to the success of any organization.
It is.
Any company, anything that you're doing, it truly is.
And I think of being reminded, sometimes you lose focus because maybe this project's taken a long time
mm-hmm.
and you've gotten lost in the weeds. You need to remind your team, here's the goal. Remember, we're heading here, and maybe assemble everybody back
right.
to get back in line of what the, you know, the actual end goal is, and you can't do that without constantly communicating.
Mm-hmm.
So
that's right. That's
number
right.
six is continue to lead.
Just lead. Yeah.
Make a decision. Yeah. Don't let those rocks and those weeds get in the way of moving forward. And, you know, oftentimes in leadership, with a group of people, nobody's willing to take the risk of saying, let's just do this.
Mm-hmm.
We've got to move on. We cannot mm-hmm. keep talking about this.
Right.
Let's pick the best path forward and let's just move. We got to mm-hmm. keep moving.
Right, right. And number seven then was accountability and making sure that you are holding everyone mm-hmm. to what they said they would do. It's just, you know, if you commit to a project and everyone has a role to play, if you've empowered everyone to be forthright with their opinion and their thoughts on the project, then they've got to be held accountable.
Right, right.
And it's not something we can do for someone, right? I mean, if we overstep as leaders, if we overstep and we take on that responsibility. Sometimes it's easy. I'm sure you understand this too, Tanya, that sometimes it's easier for me to just do it. Just instead of, yes. you know, assigning that to someone else, I think, yes. I'll just do it. It's just easier if I do it. Well, that doesn't help them, no. and it doesn't help us.
No, and it doesn't help them learn, mm-hmm. and we're all constantly learning, but we learn a lot from our missteps, mm-hmm. or actually being put on point and being told, okay, you're in charge today. Mm-hmm. You're going to have to take charge, take the lead, make the decisions. I'm going to be out.
Yeah.
So accountability in any situation is huge. And also being accountable when you're wrong.
Yeah.
That's hard for all of us.
I know.
Right?
But so critically important. If yes. you make a mistake, whether you're the leader or, you know, just, you know, a person on the team, it doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. Because, and I tell my agents this all the time, when they go out and they go on an appointment with a client, if they screw up, just say you screwed up.
Yeah.
I mean, people can appreciate.
I missed that.
I, you know what? I didn't realize that this was a, whatever the
exactly.
situation is. Let me go back and fix that.
Yes.
And let me come back to you with different numbers or a different plan of action or whatever it is.
Exactly.
People, I think, are willing to give grace if you don't try to cover it up. Mm-hmm. It gets worse.
I agree.
And trust me, it gets a lot worse if you continue to cover it up and you're not accepting responsibility for
right.
a mistake that you made.
Right.
It can snowball so quickly.
Really can, especially in our industry.
Yeah.
You know, you don't have days and weeks to solve problems. Sometimes you have minutes, maybe an hour.
On the fly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah.
The last one, number 8, was celebrate the goal and achieving it. And obviously, I think we're all good at celebrating,
mm-hmm.
but I think making sure that you are complimenting those who you brought with you on that, mm-hmm. you know, to achieve that goal. And maybe you're just somebody sitting in a seat. You're not leading the charge. It's important for all of us to feel like we have done something good, like we've been important to the task.
Right. Right.
So remember to tell those around you to celebrate with them
mm-hmm.
and compliment them.
Yeah. Anytime you have a win. And I think, yeah, I think we do want to celebrate. Sometimes I think the goal is so big and it takes so long sometimes. I think there are times we do forget to celebrate or we forget to include everyone that contributed.
Yes.
And so that's certainly something that as leaders we have to keep our eye on.
Yeah, I agree.
To celebrate those wins.
Yeah.
Big or small, they don't have to be huge wins, but any
small.
If you see someone on your team who has made an effort, who has given it 100%, and maybe they didn't get the full win they got, but they're moving in the right direction. I still think that's something to be celebrated and complimented on.
I agree. Yeah. So overall, what was our last takeaway, Angie?
So she ended her speech with never stop climbing.
Yeah.
And I love that. Never stop learning, never stop growing, never stop trying to achieve the next thing. We talk about getting outside of our comfort zone and we only grow when we're stretched. And I think that's kind of what she meant by that. That was at least what the immediate thought I had when she said never stop climbing. I thought, yeah, never stop getting outside of your comfort zone. Never stop growing.
Yeah. And never stop mentoring.
Yeah.
Since that's how we started our day with her, was conversation about mentoring. And it was interesting to go around the room and hear different people's perspective on the different questions of who has been your mentor and do you think you've been a mentor?
Mm-hmm.
And we all have a similar perspective probably in the end of what mentorship is, but without continuing the climb, you don't continue to polish your skills. So you've got to continue and never stop climbing.
Never stop climbing. I think that's a great place to end.
I think it is too. It's been a great day.
It has been a great day. I always have so much good energy. There's so much good energy in this room.
Right.
And we this is our fourth year. We want to continue to do this. I made a post on Facebook this year that you don't have to be in the real estate industry to be a part of this. We would love for outside people to come because there is a great message no matter what industry you're in. There's a great message. We always make sure that it has something to do with leadership or and something in that realm, something that anyone can get some takeaways from.
Absolutely. So we hope that you have really thought about mentoring and who you're mentoring in your life and just polishing those skills so that your leadership is at its best.
That's right. And if you think someone could benefit from this episode, please share it with them. We do want to really thank Gershwin Mortgage for coming down here and interviewing or setting up offsite for us today.
Yes.
We appreciate you so much.
Yes. So we'll catch you guys next time.
See ya. Thanks for listening to the Simply Authentic Podcast. Follow us on Facebook and Instagram.
Be sure to listen to us on your favorite podcasting app.